Of course, the first thing was that the Sea Grant, you know, National Act was passed in, what was it, 66 or something like that. And so that opened it up to the universities trying to become a Sea Grant program before they had the act, but there wasn't any such thing. And at the first go-around, there were lots of people involved from the standpoint of trying to get matching funds for the program. So there were a lot of people at the local level that we tried to work with to get money from the state to put up for hard cash matching, because that was one thing that would certainly impress the federal people, if you could come up with cash to match what the federal money was going to put into it. So we did a lot of talking with legislators, in both in the House and the Senate down here in Louisiana. And this was done not only by myself, but by the people like the Chancellor and Paul Merle and the people that were involved with LSU at the time. The senators, or the legislature were concerned with, was Sammy Nunes was a senator at that time. Sammy was the guy in the Senate, but then there was Conway LeBlue and Ed Scoggin. It was in those two guys were on the House side, and they really carried the ball as far as getting the coastal people in the House in support of the program. Another, you probably should also mention it, we had to also talk, we talked with Johnny Cox. At that time, he was the Ag Chancellor, head of the Agricultural Center at LSU, and Paul Hebert, who was the Chancellor for the Law School, because with Sea Grant, with all these people involved with law and economics and extension, and we're going to have marine agents and that involved, of course, extension services. And in addition to that, we wanted LSU to establish a, you know, Department of Marine Science or Oceanography or something like this. So there were just a lot of people involved with it, in addition to Paul Merle, who was the Chancellor at that time, and Bill McIntyre, who I'd known when I was here at LSU back when I was in graduate school, and I worked with the Coastal Studies Institute at that time. One of the things that was different about it too is that most of the programs, or the university was working with the principal investigator or a project guy that was in a particular field of science or a particular department or a particular area of expertise, whereas what they were talking about with Sea Grant was across all different kinds of disciplines and a lot of different people involved, not only from the science and engineering part of the university, but also from the law center and sociology and economics and, you know, everything across the board, and trying to get these things sort of a multidisciplinary or interdisciplinary approach to a lot of the problems in the coastal zone. They were not all that interested in deep water oceanography. They were interested in the coastal thing.
Well, how important was it for Louisiana to get their start in the program?
Sea Grant was a major thing as far as NOAA was concerned, because they didn't support that much in the way of university research before, and a lot of the stuff, of course, came through the National Science Foundation and other agencies previous to Sea Grant. So Sea Grant was important not only from the standpoint of Louisiana because of the kind of research that Sea Grant would support, but it was also sort of important to NOAA, because it provided a window to the universities that NOAA did not have before. It was important from the standpoint of that Louisiana had a lot of wetlands, and if they were going to do something in coastal zone management or things that were beginning to get more and more attention versus the deep water oceanography type stuff, it was very important that Louisiana, seeing it had more wetlands than just about anybody else except Alaska. I think that the real important thing was to try to get, you know, the capabilities of the university, not just LSU, because you were supposed to look at the university's all of the universities in the states, and then try to get those capabilities available in academia applied to the marine and coastal problems that Louisiana, or that the particular state had. It's supposed to work so that the money in Sea Grant could be spent to supplement and complement a lot of research that NOAA was conducting in their laboratories and government labs and agencies and so forth, and it all fits together.
Have you guys ever worked with those agencies that the professors may have used in the past, or?
With the National Marine Fisheries Service and a lot of things that are related to seafood and so forth, there has been a lot of close cooperation and coupling with the federal agencies and the state agencies and the universities. And with coastal zone management coming along too, we could have gone to the oil companies and tried to work with them to try to set up something that would be a program, and we could have done a lot of things, and we could have gotten private sector oil company support to do it. But there was no real reason to do that. I mean, you could do that anyhow, and this was something different. And one of the ways that you really had to do it was to go to the guys that had some stature in the university community and get them involved in it. So it was a real plus when you could get people, well, like McIntyre and other people, and Jim Coleman, and people who were getting money from other agencies and had a good scientific reputation in the academic world. Then the younger researchers and assistant professors and people would come along, wouldn't be hesitant. So anyway, they wouldn't be as hesitant to get involved with something like this. Initially, there was a lot of time and effort spent getting all the chancellors and all of the different top-notch researchers and people to look at Sea Grant. I mean, you're trying to solve real-world problems, and you're trying to do things that are important at the local level. And it's not something that's just looked at as something that's great within a particular discipline or scientific area. And so there was a lot of hesitancy, I think, on the part of many assistant and associate professors to get involved with something like this, because, and unless you had some top-level full professors doing something in Sea Grant, it was a matter of making sure that Sea Grant was recognized. And although it was an applied research program, you had to make certain that whatever was done was viewed as good science and good academic type research and so forth. It's constantly in flux as far as there are changes within the industry itself, depending on what research needs are required. There's also then changes within the university faculties and capabilities and how to address these things, and you're constantly trying to come up with some way to balance this out and keep not only the professors happy, but also the constituent groups happy. But that's one thing that Sea Grant can do, is that seeing it is a network of these 30-some universities across the state, if you've got problems and you don't have the capabilities, you can work deals with other universities. You can work these deals and come up with capabilities to address problems that a single university or a single state couldn't do.
Does that happen quite often?
The problem that comes up that demands a real multidisciplinary thing, and there's a source of funds, well, then it easily can be brought about. It's just a matter of maintaining for a length of time that's necessary to reach conclusions or to do something, to put together the people, the laboratory facilities, the coupling with the state and federal agencies. And so there's a constant trying to balance these things so that you're meeting all the constituency need. Back in some of the initial stages where Sea Grant was involved, you were doing things that you really, some people might not have thought they were all that important.
So it's almost a subject of interest sometimes.
That's part of what, with the Sea Grant thing, with the advisory service agents and so forth, that's part of their job too. So that it couples, and in theory, a lot of what research gets done should be based on what the extension agents that you have set up through the marine extension agents, the kinds of things that they identify as research needs. In the structure within the extension service, they have extension or field agents, and then they have people back on the campus who are research people that are tied to academic departments. And so they have research capabilities. The research people were not tied in to the academic departments on the campus. They were over in the extension program, but they weren't part of the academic department. And that, of course, is bad. They are all, pretty much tied together, and they talk with one another, and it worked out a whole lot better than it did initially when it wasn't that arrangement at all. But the specialists were just over in the extension program. They didn't have any ties with the academic departments.
What other impacts has the Louisiana Sea Grant have on the Gulf Coast life?
I was interested for a long time in getting, well, not just the hard science type stuff supported, but economics and sociology and things of this nature. And we tried, like tourism development. There's a lot of, when you start talking with tourism development, but some of the stuff that was done was like Mike Lifman, and he got involved with tourism development early on, and they organized a tourism organization within the state, and they would hold annual meetings, and they would get all of the people that were involved with tourism in state agencies and federal agencies and local tourism groups and so forth, and they'd have meetings, and the university people or the Sea Grant agents and the researchers that were interested in this kind of thing would, at least talk and try to identify things, and so they could address needs of the tourism industry. You can look at some of the stuff that's been supported. And there have been patents awarded in food science, and there are other things like that that relate to it. And this stuff that's been done with chitin, chitosan is a red dye stuff that you get out of crawfish shells or something like that. We had great hopes for a while for soft shell crawfish, but that hasn't worked out as well as we thought. Another thing that doesn't come out any of this is the thing that we have set up with Sea Grant money that relates to these endowed professorships, endowed chairs, rather. We've got, which is kind of unique as far as Sea Grant in Louisiana from any other, I don't know of any other program. And it's really part of this line item of appropriation, but there's money in there that's set up comes to the university for an endowed chair. And we've got one or two of these things set up like that. And I think that's an important thing, because we've brought in people from Australia, from Israel, from Germany, and they've been here, for it's set up for, one semester at a time, but some of them will spend two semesters and then they'll go back, or they will spend time at LSU working on problems that they're interested in, or we wouldn't bring them over here, but they would address problems that are important to Louisiana.
What kind of internal changes has the program gone through over the years?
I guess the thing, it's still, the real problem is still related to the wetlands or the coastal wetlands. I mean,
And what are problems in the coastal areas and wetlands, of course, change over time, and of course, it's a lot different now with what they're addressing after Rita and Katrina as far as the problems down there are concerned. But the whole thing is still focused pretty much on coastal zone management, and I don't think that's changed at all. The situation right now is there's a different set of problems that has to be addressed, but it still gets back to what has to be done to either maintain or to best utilize coastal Louisiana, and how do you manage that? The national program, or the way the whole thing is set up, is pretty much stay the same, and